that we might see your commands and that we might be able to respond with love to our neighbour. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Looking back in the past 35 years of my life, I realized that I was focused on success at work, and that left me very little quality time for serving God. The result was that, guess what? I made more money, but I didn't do ministry the way I knew I should be doing it, thinking that, oh, well, I'm young, I have more time. So 30s turns to 40s, 40s turns to 50s, and now I'm in my late 50s. Finally, I'm trying to flip it in the right direction, spending quality time doing God's work. The process of identifying which ministry my wife and I should select was very important to us, and we put a lot of thought into it. So when we discovered that over 600 refugees come to our city every year, we felt compelled to participate.
So, we have a family for you. They are from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mm-hmm. And it's a family of seven, and they're all girls.
Wow.
So the DRC, it's been civil wars within the country, and that's why they've had to flee. The family arrives this Thursday night. Everything's gonna be new to them, and they're really gonna need a little bit of stability, and we all offer that. We've got an apartment, and we need to set it up. Would y'all be interested in being involved in that process?
Yeah.
Okay.
The way I'm wired, it's important to me to not be involved in huge events that are Billy Graham-ish. I'm not made for the spotlight. I'm prone to pride, and that's what I have to fight. So put me in a spot that doesn't foster that, and that's where the Lord is putting us. When I read scripture, I see that it is incumbent upon all Christians to love God and to love others. Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Someone who shows up and didn't think he would ever get there, and he came here by the skin of his teeth, and he knows not what the future holds. That to me is a ripe situation to love others, and I want to be part of it. You want to see it? You want to go see? One bedroom here. Their bedroom is here. So mom and dad, you sleep here, and then someone else sleep here.
I think the little one.
The little one, yeah. Love is not all that complicated. It's actually quite simple. It sort of looks like making yourself very helpful to the people in your life. Some people need a soft word. Some people need a couch. Some people need a friend. Tell them that I'm sure they've had a long trip, but they're home, and we're glad that they're home.
They're happy to know that they have people who really care about them and people want to help them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's some banana bread.
They think that they're going to keep seeing you in their lives. They want to see you again.
Tell her yes. Yes. When you're my age, you realize the weight of idolatry and realizing that other things have been more important and have taken the place of God. But at the same time,
what I'm encouraged about is the direction of my life. I will befriend this family. I will become aware of needs. I will pray for this family. Where that will lead, I'm not sure. Everybody's aiming at something. It's incumbent upon us to know what is that and what should it be. My aim in life is what God wants, what brings Him pleasure, what is His desire.
Well, over the past 3 weeks, we've been thinking about the stranger. We've been thinking about the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, the asylum seeker, and the refugee. And we've been looking through this book of Deuteronomy, and we've been looking through its pages trying to ask ourselves the question, how does God want us as followers of Jesus to respond to this stranger, to respond to this foreigner that we might meet? And in response to someone's request over coffee last week, I wrote a letter this week to our Prime Minister, and I trust that you too will be engaged broadly to advocate for the stranger in our midst. Today we're going to finish off this series, and we're going to focus today on befriending the stranger who comes to church. We're going to be really practical today. A couple of summers ago, my family and I decided that we would play ultimate frisbee. And it's a picture, it looks just like I was. None of us had actually played ultimate frisbee before, but we figured it was a good fun thing to do on a summer evening. Twice a week over that summer period, as a family, we went to Sandy Bay to the ovals down there to join in a game of ultimate frisbee. But on that first night when we arrived, it became really clear to us that everyone else knew how to play. And a lot of them also knew each other. We were the newbies. We were the strangers. We came, and unlike the others, we didn't know the rules. We weren't that fit. And we didn't know anyone. We were the newcomers. We were the strangers. Most of the players there were nice enough, but they let us keep to ourselves. There's really just one guy who said, "G'day," befriended us, and included us and taught us how to not look totally stupid on the field. It was actually really quite weird for me to be in that position of being the newcomer, of being the stranger, of being the outsider. Here at St. Clement's, everyone knows me. I'm not the stranger here, but out on the frisbee field, it was a completely different matter. I was the outsider. I was a stranger. I was the one on the outside looking in. And I've got to say, it was that one fella who asked after us if we weren't there, who included us, who encouraged us, even when we were doing a pathetic job. It was him who made all the difference. It was him who included us and made us enjoy our time at Ultimate Frisbee. Funnily enough, at the end of the season, we found out he was a pastor of a church. But you know, all of us at some stage in our life have experienced being the outsider. We've all experienced what it's like to be a newcomer. Maybe you're the new kid at school. Maybe you've just arrived in this country. Maybe you've arrived just here in Kingston. Everything's unfamiliar. Everything's kind of different. You're not quite sure what to say. You're not quite sure what to do. And there's that feeling of just being a bit awkward. We've all been that newcomer, haven't we? But you know, we so easily forget. How easily do we forget what it's like to be on the outside? How easy do we forget just how awkward it is to step into a new environment, to a new culture where we're not quite sure what the expectations are. We're not quite sure how things are done here. In this book of Deuteronomy, God tells his people again and again, you've got to treat the newcomers well. You've got to treat the newcomers well. Remember what it was like for you. Remember what it was like for you back in Egypt, what it was like back there. Make sure that you help newcomers to belong. So we're going to look at three passages from the book of Deuteronomy once more today. I hope you're enjoying Deuteronomy. It's a great book, isn't it? I'll try to avoid passages which deal with excrement this week. For those of you who weren't here last week, I managed to get a wrong Bible reference and it was kind of awkward for a few minutes. But we're going to look at three passages today which are all about inviting and welcoming the newcomer. Will you come with me? First, God commands his people to invite the newcomer to celebrate. There's a theme of celebration right throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Turn with me, won't you, to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verses 10 through 15. Just as God's people were told they need to celebrate, so they'd invite the stranger, the newcomer, to celebrate too. Chapter 16 and verses 10 through 15. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. And rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. You and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your town and foreigners and the fatherless and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And follow carefully these decrees. Celebrate the feast, the festival of tabernacles, for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival. You and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Every year, God's people would get together for three festivals. They were pilgrimage festivals. They would go to a special place. It's not mentioned where here. It's just the place the Lord God would choose. That place that God chooses is a place called Jerusalem. But they would go to this central place in the land for these three festivals. First festival, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where God's people remembered how God rescued them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them to their freedom. In this Passover festival, they were to enjoy a lamb. They were to enjoy unleavened bread to remind themselves of their great escape from slavery. And that festival took place in March or April. The second feast was called the Feast of Weeks, or as we usually hear it, Pentecost. It was you'd count off 7 weeks after the Passover and you'd have the Feast of Weeks. In this feast, people would commemorate the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And they would come together as part of the wheat harvest and they'd have a great big party together. The second festival, which took place in May and June. And the third festival was called Tabernacles or Booths, where they would remember their wilderness wanderings. Remember after they came out of Egypt, they spent a time wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Well, this festival was to commemorate that, to remember that time where God was with them, where God's presence was tangibly felt by them in their wilderness wanderings. And as part of that, they made little tents. My kids would have loved it. To remind themselves of their wanderings, they made tents out of branches and leaves. The Feast of Booths. And this was linked to the grape and the olive harvest. So again, lots and lots of joy and celebration and food. And this third feast was on September and October. The main focus of all of these three feasts was celebration. Sometimes I think when people hear that the church are gathering together, they think, oh, that'll be a solemn occasion. That will be a dour affair. For God's people in the Old Testament, when they got together, they partied. There was always food involved. There was always joy and rejoicing and a sense that God is with them. So each of these three feasts focus on God's grace and provision and presence. Now have a look at your Bible, have a look at that passage, and you tell me who gets to party. Have a look. Who is it that is able to enjoy all this beautiful food together? Verse 11, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your town, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows living among you. Verse 13, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. Who gets to celebrate? Everyone. Everyone gets to celebrate. Everyone who lives there is invited to come and party with God. It includes the stranger, it includes the outsider, it includes the foreigner and the newcomers. There is an open invitation to celebrating with God. God's first command to his people is invite these people, invite the newcomer to celebrate. Second, God also commands his people to invite the newcomer to learn. To come and listen and learn. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 10 through 13. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the festival of tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he would choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men and women and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. In Moses' day, there weren't any smartphones. There wasn't an internet. There wasn't a printing press. And so people didn't have easy access to the word. So various times throughout the year, there would be occasions for this law, this book of Deuteronomy, to be read out to the public so everyone could listen and learn and obey. At various times of the calendar, there was a reading out of God's law. Have a look at verse 12. He says, assemble the people, men, women, children, foreigners residing in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully follow all the words of this law. They're commanded to come together, men, women, children, foreigners. Everyone's invited to listen. Everyone is invited to learn. These foreigners, they might not have known much about God at all. They may have just come in from the outside. They may have not known very, very little about the history of Israel. But they are also invited to come and to listen and to learn. This knowledge, it's not just for the men. It's not just for the women. It's not just for the children. It is for everyone, including the stranger, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. No matter who you were, you're invited to come and hear about the grace of God, the provision of God, and how he is present amongst his people. That's the second command. These people have got to give the possibility for newcomers to come in and to learn about the goodness and grace of God. And thirdly, finally, God commands his people to invite newcomers to participate. Flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 29 with me, verses 9 through 13. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant, so that you'll prosper in everything you do. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your officials and elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with the children and wives, the foreigners living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath, to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This book of Deuteronomy is written to God's people on the verge of the promised land. It's actually three sermons that Moses gives, reasonably long sermons, he gives as they're on the verge, looking down the promised land. This is the instructions for them as they live in this new place. And in chapter 29, after he's finished, he's wrapping up his sermon, it's been going on a while, he calls them to commitment. It's like a commitment ceremony. It's called a covenant. It's a bit of a strange word to our ears, but it's like an agreement, a contract. It's a commitment between God and his people. And in verse 10, he says, all of you are standing here today, verse 12, you're standing in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God. They got a promise here that they're going to be faithful, they're going to obey him, and God in turn promises to bless their faithfulness and to continue to be with them and not forsake them. And notice just one more time, don't get bored of this, this is still stunning. Who gets to be part of the covenant? Have a look. Verses 10b and 11. Your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials. Well, of course they're there, aren't they? They're who you expect to be there. Yeah? But not just them. Look who else is there. The other men of Israel, together with children and the wives and the foreigners live in your camps. Who? Chop your wood and carry your water. You know, the most menial of all tasks, those people, they're the ones who get to be part of this. There's no distinction of rich and poor or someone who's got a great big spiritual heritage and those who haven't. There's no difference made at all. Everyone who is there is able to participate and pledge that we will be God's people. We will follow him. We will obey his commands. These strangers are invited to participate in the life of this community just the same as everyone else. It's for those who were brought up with the Ten Commandments and those who weren't. For those who got a spiritual heritage and those who don't. It's for those people who know and have been thinking about the things of God for a long, long time, and for those who are completely and utterly new. This commitment ceremony is for everyone. God commands his people to invite the newcomer to celebrate, to learn, and participate. And friends, isn't that what we want for St. Clement's, eh? I mean, it's written all those years ago to an ancient people in a very different part of the world, all living as God's people all together rather than scattered across the face of the earth as we are today. Before Jesus, we're after Jesus. So many differences, and yet isn't that what we want to be today? A people of welcome and generous hospitality who invite the newcomer to come and to celebrate with us the goodness of God, to come and learn with us about who God is and what he wants for us, and to participate in the life of this community. We want this community here to be a place where everyone is known and loved. I've got a little diagram. Thanks for that, Steve. It shows a couple of different options for how these things work. I'll go the left, bottom left corner first. If you're not known and you're not loved, then you're basically ignored. And we've all been there, haven't we? Been in a situation where we've just been ignored. It's like we weren't even there. No one cared. No one included us. And we felt like a complete outsider. Or we can be known and not loved. That's called rejected. And that's pretty ugly too, isn't it? And I'm sure for the teachers who are here today, you'll have seen that in the schoolyard again and again and again. Kids just being rejected. Or when we are not known but loved, there's a general feeling of love and there's some love there, but no one actually knows me. No one knows my struggles. Then we just feel alone. We want St. Clement's to be a place where people are known and loved, where people feel like they can belong. That's the sort of culture we're trying to create here at St. Clement's, where there's a welcome, a generous hospitality and welcome. We want every newcomer to find a place in our services, but in our ministries, in our connect groups, I find a place where they can belong, a place where they can feel like they can be themselves and they can go on a journey with God themselves. We want newcomers to find a place to belong here at church and in our homes as we invite them to enter into our lives as well. And sometimes, friends, we get this right. Every now and again, I hear someone say, "The first time I came to St. Clement's, I felt like I came home." Praise God for those times. It's great when you hear those testimonies, when someone's just been the right person at the right time to welcome them. It's been beautiful. But of course, sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we get it really wrong. If you're someone who's been part of our church community here and you haven't been welcomed with the sort of love that I've been preaching about today, then we are so sorry for that. Please accept our apology. Please help us to do better. We are committed to making this church a place where everyone can be known and loved. You know, there's newcomers who come to us in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been enjoying the company of some new friends from Africa. And it's been great to enjoy new friendships. People have come to us from a different culture. And we want to say to every newcomer who comes to us from another country or another culture, please let us help you to settle in. We want to help you to be able to find a place where you can belong. And if you need something, we're here for you. We want to help you to settle in and find a place and a home here. Or maybe you're here today and you're not quite sure about Jesus yet and you're on a faith journey and you've got questions. If that's you here today, then we're so glad you're here because we've all got questions. And there's no one here who's got all the answers. I'm really sorry to tell you that. We're all learning. We're all on a journey. We're all finding more and more about what Jesus means for us to follow. None of us have got all the right answers, but we're so glad that you've come and asking your questions. Please ask your questions. That's why every week we have a reading, we have preaching from God's word, because we want to know this God better. We're committed to knowing our God better. Or you might be here today and you've come from another church. You've come perhaps from a difficult situation. You might be feeling burnt out or disillusioned or feeling like it's all too much. If that's you today, then can I please encourage you just to sit and rest and be rejuvenated? We have no expectations of you. Just enjoy your time here. Rest and receive. And when you are ready, there'll be a place for you to serve. Blogger Jenna Lusk writes this: churches should be places where the neglected, the voiceless, the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, and the weary find love, kindness, and the hope of Jesus Christ. Where you find a people and a place like that, you just yearn to belong. And friends, isn't that what Johnny did for his refugee family in the video. He just reached out, found a place to help them to belong. He just came with open arms. And of course, that's what God's done for every one of us. He's come to all of us with open arms, hasn't he? He's come saying, come, I don't care who you are, come. In that gospel reading, he sends all these invites to people saying, come to my party, come to know me, come enjoy my love, come and celebrate with me. And a whole lot of people say, oh, I'm a bit busy, you know, I've got stuff to do, things to do, places to go. And so he says, send out more invitations. And they say, oh, yeah, we've sent all them out. And he says, go and compel them to come. My house has got to be full. That's God's heart of generosity. He's got these open arms. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. He wants everyone to know his love, to celebrate with him. He invites us into this relationship with him. That's why he stretched out his hands to die on the cross. He wanted to reconcile us with him. The gospel story, the Christian story, is of God opening his arms and saying, I love you. Come home. Come home. You're welcome in my house. And friends, that's the heart we want to model in this church. This open arms of welcome that God has given for us. How can we not just give these open arms of welcome to others? If that's God's heart for us, if that's what God has done for us, how can we not do that for the other, for the stranger, the refugee, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow? May God put that same heart in every single one of us so that together we are a family who glorifies God. Would you stand with me as we pray to our great God? Hello, God, we thank you so much. We praise you so much that you are a God who looks after the orphan. You're the God who looks after the foreign, the stranger and the refugee. You're a God who has a heart for the vulnerable. And Lord, we've just been reminded over these weeks, these past 3 weeks, about how you call us likewise to love our neighbour as ourselves. Lord, would you renovate our hearts this morning? Would you just renew our minds? Would you help us to love others like you have loved us? And Lord, we pray that you would help this community here at St. Clement's to be a place where every single person feels that they can be known and loved. And Lord, where there's been hurt because someone hasn't been known or someone hasn't been loved the way that we desire, would you please bring about forgiveness and a fresh start, healing, your healing balm, Lord. And we pray, Lord, having been welcomed ourselves, that we would in turn welcome others. Oh, Lord God, do a deep work in us that we might respond to the stranger as you do. For we ask this in the strong, strong name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.